This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah. Today's tip, the secrets of sujood, prostration, and ubudiyyah, the relationship between the two. Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, the programs of Foresight, and we're talking about the secrets of sujood, prostration, and ubudiyyah, the relationship between the two. Now, we were talking about how it encompasses the four stages of life when we go down into sajda, into prostration, then we get back up, then we go back down. We do the second sujood, the second prostration, and then finally we come back up. We talked about how it meant that we were made of clay, then we were given life, then we were given death, and then we were resurrected for the day of judgment. A very powerful statement that was given to us by Imam Ali alayhi salam, the first divinely appointed Imam. In the previous segment, we also talked about how it is not just you and I who prostrate in front of Allah as Muslims, but even non-Muslims have this innate nature, this fitrah, again, this innate nature to bow down, to prostrate in front of a greater Lord, a greater being, a creator, a king, a majestic king. And so it is something that is international. But I say to my dear friends from other religions and other cultures, why bow down in front of another man or another woman? Why bow down in front of idols created by our hands or idols created by other men? Why bow down and prostrate to these weak and insignificant things, when you can bow down and prostrate to the creator of everything, the Lord of everything, the sustainer of everything, the giver of existence, the giver of life and death, the loving Lord, the merciful, the generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Today's question asks, why do Muslims pray? One of the most important rulings in Islam is the daily prayer that Muslims must partake in. Maybe you have seen Muslims in large groups say prayer together on TV. You might think it looks a little weird because there is so much action involved in prayer. Why don't Muslims just clasp their hands together, become reverent, and speak their prayers silently? Why must there be a loud call to prayer and a set time for these prayers to be said in? This is because Muslims all around the world pray the same prayer in the same way and at the same times. In total, there are 5 separate prayers that Muslims recite in Arabic. This is so that there can be conformity for all prayers said. But the true beauty of the prayer lies in the meaning, and so many Muslims choose to look up the translation of the prayer in their own language so that they truly know what they are reciting. The reason for the actual prayer is so that Muslims always focus on being kind and doing the right thing, no matter the circumstances. In Islam, it is believed that the world is a testing ground for humans, in which they have to always choose for the right over the wrong. It is also believed that humans, after they die and on Judgment Day will be judged based on their actions on earth. The prayer, therefore, acts as a sort of shield against wrongdoings that might tempt the people. They help remind people that their life on earth is short and serve as a means to put life in perspective. Think of it this way. Let's say you are sitting in an exam at school. Initially, you know that this is an exam and that you have to do your best in order to pass with a good grade. Throughout the exam, however, you also have the teacher supervising you and also a clock to tell you how much more time you have left. The teacher and the clock both reinforce the fact in your mind that you are taking an exam so that you do not slack off, dawdle, or cheat. The Muslim daily prayers serve the same purpose. They allow you to connect with God on several occasions throughout the day. They also help you remember that you are on earth for a short period of time and that you are responsible for your actions at all times. Now imagine during your exam, your teacher would not be there to supervise and there would be no means to tell the time during your exam. Would you still be trying as hard to finish your exam well? Or would you start talking with your classmates, cheat, or even take out your sandwich and indulge because you think you have the time to do so? Without daily prayers, Muslims would have a much harder time focusing on their actual purpose in life. They would not strive to be the best version of themselves that they could be and would indulge in the non-essential things in life. So why not try praying once in a while? Try taking a minute or two, a couple times a day, just to focus on a connection with the Creator.
In the name of Allah, assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to this segment of Foresight coming to you from IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and today I would like to read to you the English translation of an excerpt from Munajatu Shakirin, The Whispered Prayer of the Thankful. Please stay with me. God, as you have fed us through your gentleness and nurtured us through your benefaction, so also complete for us lavish favors, repel from us detested acts of vengeance and of the shares of the two abodes, give us their most elevated and their greatest, both the immediate and the deferred. To you belongs praise for your good trial and the lavishness of your favors, a praise conforming to your good pleasure and attracting your great goodness and magnanimity. O Almighty, O All Generous, by your mercy, O Most Merciful of the Merciful.
And so in this segment, we conclude, dear friends, by saying that this subject of sujood, this subject of prostration, has been given in the Quranic verses. And one of those verses is as follows, where the Holy Quran says, "From it did we create you, into it shall we return you, So from it did we create you, meaning the earth or mud. Into it shall we return you, meaning we will put you into the grave, back into the earth. And from it shall we bring you forth another time, meaning we will give you back life. We will give you life again after you have died. This Quranic verse is the manifestation of what we talked about in the previous segment, where Imam Ali alayhi salam had told us about the four stages of human life. And dear friends, in this era where we live in and we find these novel or new diseases that have not been seen before, or we see viruses that people don't seem to have immunity to, and there is fear, and there is panic, and there is stress, and there is death and chaos all across the globe, one of the ways to bring ourselves peace of mind, security, and calm is this very prostration and sujood in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so since sujood is a symbol of servitude and ubudiyya, it is forbidden to prostrate on items that should not be prostrated to. For example, things that are to be eaten or worn as garments. Always remember that this is a state of proximity to Allah, and we are supposed to prostrate upon the ground, upon the earth. That's not necessarily a carpet or a piece of cloth. And finally, as you all know, it is not permissible and it is haram. It is prohibited to prostrate before other than Allah. And so here we end this session, that even if the brothers of Prophet Yusuf prostrated before him, in reality, they were performing the worship of Allah, and they were prostrating before Allah and were showing gratitude to Allah who had brought Yusuf from the bottom of the well, which they had thrown him in, to such honor and glory. And therefore we realize that sujood is the most beautiful way to honor and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Khalil Ja'far.
What is really afraid of death is not your real self, because your real self knows you are eternal, you will never die. What is really afraid of dying is the ego, that false sense of I that was created. That I is afraid of even being diminished. When you insult me, my ego is diminished, it is deflated. That is threatening, that is a sign that I might die. So to reinflate, it takes a backlash. It will insult you back, it will fight back, it will go back and backbite about you, right? It will send a nasty email to you. Why? Because it needs to reinflate, to regain its original sense of I-ness. But at death, because the body falls apart and the brain falls apart and the mind falls apart, therefore that sense of I-ness that was created by the mind must also go. It was an illusion. And that feeling of I am losing my sense of I-ness, I am ceasing to exist, is the most frightening thing. It is a feeling like I'm going mad, I'm losing my mind. That is what we fear the most. We have a choice. We can seek spirituality and allow that to happen with our own volition, or we can continue denying and pretending death does not exist, and then at the time of death it is taken from us by force, and that makes it more frightening. The same it is with whether we choose to be tabi'ah oriented or fitra oriented. Let us give an example from the Quran of how this happens when a person changes from tabi'ah to fitra, how they overcome this fear of death completely in an amazing way. The story and the example we take from the Quran is from the story of the Prophet Moses. Moses or Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun or the Pharaoh is a complete representation of total tabi'ah. When Allah wants to speak of oppressors, of tyranny in the Quran, He uses Fir'aun as the absolute embodiment of this dhulm, okay, or of a taghut. He uses Fir'aun. When Musa comes back to Egypt with his brother Harun alayhi salam, Fir'aun sees the miracles he brings, so he challenges him. He says, let us have a showdown. And because he is so confident, he says, we will not do it now. He sets a day and he invites people from all over the country to say, come and witness how we defeat this Musa. He does not realize he's setting himself up for his own defeat. Then he has people sent out through his domain and he looks for the most accomplished magicians, the best of them, and they come to him. Now, these magicians, as we all know, they repent. When they first come, they are tabi'a driven, just like you and I. But there is something in them. They have kept their fitrah alive even though they continue with tabi'a, even though they commit a major sin, which is the practice of witchcraft and magic.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.